Well, as they go, let me tell you what's coming here. So I am about to begin preaching to you what was originally a one-part sermon that morphed into being a two-parter, which is fine, except that there are some questions I'm going to begin today's sermon with that won't get answered until the end of part two, because again, I was originally intending for this to be a single sermon. So what that means is you're going to have to listen to part two, either here in church next Sunday or on our website. It'll get posted to our site probably a day or two after next Sunday. So even if your home address isn't Madison, Minnesota, I'm going to encourage you to listen to part two. Obviously, the big topic question that this sermon is about will only fully be answered over the two sermons, and I'd like you to hear the full content rather than just half. But again, there are these more specific questions I'm going to start the sermon with today that won't be resolved until the end of part two, so you're going to have to listen. All right? Let's begin then. So I had an interesting situation come up recently I'm going to tell you about. However, since this, since the real-life situation involves people in our community, I'm going to alter the facts of the story a bit. So the story I'm about to tell you is not the true story. But parts of it are true, but the overall story is not technically a true story. A little challenging sometimes to have real-life examples when you live in a small town. So, all right, here it is. So I was told by some people recently that some elementary school kids in town had told them that they were stealing items from Dollar General. Again, this is not a fully true story. I mentioned this to my wife later without thinking about the fact that my daughters were listening, and my eldest daughter knew the kids in question, and she was really upset about the idea that kids she knows at her school, people she considers her friends, because Maya considers everyone in her school her friend, would actually steal. I could tell that it hurt her heart, which then hurt my heart. I love that Maya loves everybody and just naturally thinks the best of everyone. So it's hard to watch your kids learning the realities of life. Anyway, Anna and I could see that she was having trouble processing this information. And then Maya asked us if she should confront those kids at school. So we said, well, no, because we don't know for sure that the information that we were told here is accurate. So we said, you know, stay out of it unless they would talk about it, and then, you know, you could talk to them about it then. But now, I have since then interacted with some of those kids a little bit around town, and I've wondered to myself, how should I handle that? Should I confront them in righteous anger and bring them to justice? Or should I give them the silent treatment and, you know, try to keep those troublemakers away from my family? Should I treat them like I try to treat everybody, with smiles and friendly chatting, pretending like I don't know anything, right? So I've wondered what's the best response for me as an adult in this town, and I've wondered how I ought to counsel Maya on how to respond. And I'm going to ask you now, on your honor, to please not ask Maya about this story. Okay. Let me tell you a different story now, and this one is not a Madison story, and it happened a long time ago, so I can tell you all the facts. A few years after college, I asked a gal that I knew from my college days out on a date. Don't worry, this relationship didn't go anywhere. It was a one-and-done date. However, the date was memorable because of what happened right before it began. I had been asked to sing at a friend's wedding the weekend that we were going out, and so she and I planned to go out to dinner after what I needed to do at the Friday night wedding rehearsal, right? The wedding was at the church I attended back then in Roseville in the Twin Cities. The young woman I was going out with said she would meet me at the church, and so she came to the rehearsal and came in and sat down when she arrived. She was probably at the church for about 20 minutes while we finished up things, and then we headed out the door to go to the restaurant. Well, during that 20 minutes, in the broad daylight, because this was a summer wedding, someone stole my date's car right out of the church parking lot in suburban Roseville. It was gone. Looking back on it, I am pretty amazed at how calmly this gal actually handled this scenario. We called the police, we called her dad, and we still went out to dinner and actually had a pretty good conversation. I'm not sure that my head would have been in that conversation if it had been my car. Well, the police found the car a couple weeks later, somewhat beat up and abandoned in another part of the cities, and that's pretty much the end of the story. Now, I never met the people who stole her car, but what if I had? What if we had happened upon them while they were stealing it? What should my interaction with those car thieves have looked like? Should I have walked up and gotten into a fight with them? You know me, tough guy. If I had had a gun, should I have taken it out and started shooting? Let's say I met them a number of days after they had stolen the car. Should I have cursed them out and let them know that I thought they were scum of the earth? Maybe if it became possible for me to look up their information somehow, I could have found where their cars were parked and I could have taken a bat to it, got a little retribution. We live in a tough world. There are always things going on that hurt us or hurt the people around us, and we then are put into the position of needing to decide how to react. But hey, we just aren't, you know, the average people out in the world. We are avowed followers of Jesus Christ, so our Christianity ought to inform how we react in those scenarios, right? My question for us today, and again next week, is this. When is it okay for Christians to go on the attack or to defend ourselves? When is it okay for Christians to go on the attack or to defend ourselves? Okay, one thing I am not talking about in this two-part sermon is when is it okay for the military or for law enforcement to use force? That's a separate question. I am focusing in here on personal situations that come upon us in our lives. Is it okay to attack? Is it okay to defend? About 4 years ago, I did a couple sermons on a similar topic to the one we're addressing here, and I want to bring back today some of what I did there. Specifically, I want to bring back to our attention the work we did on the question of when is it okay for a Christian to be angry, because I think that material is going to be helpful for us in our current quest. So I'm going to start out with that now, and I'll have some additional thoughts for you today. And then in part two of the sermon next Sunday, I will have some totally new material for us to ponder. But let's begin with what we discussed 4 years ago on the subject of when it's okay for a Christian to be angry. If you study the Bible on anger, and you especially look at the example that Jesus provided for us in his life, we came up with the following principles back then. We said that anger is okay for a Christian to feel and express if it is anger that's caused by behavior that's not in accordance with God's will or plan. Anger is okay for a Christian to feel and express if it's anger that's caused by behavior that's not in accordance with God's will or plan. We concluded that anger is not okay when it's caused by feeling inconvenienced or when it's caused by not getting our personal preferences followed or when it's caused by a violation of some human-originated conviction or tradition rather than a godly thing. In other words, anger is only okay if it is coming in reaction to actual sin. And of course, there's plenty of that out there to go around. We also came to the conclusion back then that anger is okay when we see God or others wronged. But it may not be okay when we are the ones being wronged. And here is where we're especially leaning on how Jesus behaved. Jesus did have moments in the gospel stories where he expressed anger, but if you study those moments, you'll see two truths about them. Number one, Jesus' anger was always directed at people who were not acting in step with God's program, who were not behaving according to God's design and direction. And then truth number two, none of Jesus' angry moments came when after people insulted him or attacked him. Jesus suffered all kinds of insults and name-calling, mischaracterizations, and slander. In the end, he suffered extreme physical abuse, but he didn't lash out at those evildoers. So Jesus got angry when God or others were wronged, but he didn't express anger when he was wronged. He just took it. We are Jesus' disciples, and disciples are to follow the behaviors and the teachings of their master. Now, it's pretty difficult to not feel anger if somebody wrongs us. And, you know, after all, that wrong done to us very well might have been a sinful act. Something not in accordance with God's will, which was the first point where we said anger was okay. Well, how do you resolve that? What we landed on in my earlier sermons was the idea that it really is probably okay for us to feel some anger when we're hurt by sinful acts directed at us, and to acknowledge that anger internally. But then, if we're seeking to follow Jesus' example in our lives, we ought to work hard then not to show that anger. And we also ought to move quickly into seeing the offending person through the eyes of God. We ought to try to maintain love for that person and think about how that person is a precious creation of the Lord's, who does have some things to work on, but who remains worthy of love. And if we can get ourselves to make that shift in our thinking, I think it's going to help us control our anger. Now, there are exceptions to this, I believe, like if you have someone in your inner circle or a family member who is routinely abusing you, love for that person actually probably looks like confrontation of some sort, rather than allowing them just to continue unabated in their ungodly behavior. So there can be some exceptions to this principle of responding with silence and love to sinful acts committed towards us, but those exceptions don't relieve us from wrestling with the fact that Jesus was serious when he said in Matthew 5, "Don't resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." How do we know Jesus was serious about this? Because it's exactly how he behaved. When Jesus was wrong, he responded with humility and calmness. He didn't defend himself. I think we're called to similar behaviors. There was one more bullet point on that anger topic, and I just want to mention it here. It was that okay anger is expressed in self-controlled ways. Not okay anger is expressed in cursing and raging and flying off the handle. Anger also should not be expressed through ignoring people or snubbing people. So anger is a human emotion, and according to the Bible, there are moments when it's okay to express that emotion and to feel it, but we're to reserve our anger for those appropriate moments, and we need also to be very careful in how we express it when we express it. James chapter 1. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. In Colossians 3:8, "But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips." Okay. I believe that we can look over this list that we just went through on anger, when it's appropriate to be angry according to the Bible, and I think we can allow that list to also serve as a backdrop for this question of today on when it might be okay for Christians to attack or defend. Let's try that. So the first bullet point on righteous anger, again, was anger is okay for a Christian to feel if it is anger that is caused by behavior that is not in accordance with God's will or plan, rather than anger that is caused by feeling inconvenienced or not getting our personal preferences or by a violation of some human or originated conviction or tradition. If that bullet point is true, then I don't believe we should be thinking about attacking or defending in any situation where we were simply inconvenienced or in a situation where our personal preferences for whatever was hindered. And I think when I'm saying attacking here too, this could be a verbal attack too, I think, not just a physical attack. So yeah, if there is ever a moment when it's okay for a Christian to attack or defend, it would need to be in response to something that was actual sin. Non-sinful actions that we don't like might be highly annoying, but I think we're asked to let them slide. Second bullet point said, anger is okay when we see God or others wrong, but it may not be okay when we are wronged. Interesting one. That would suggest then that if there is a moment when it's appropriate for a Christian to attack or defend, that moment ought to be about defending God from being wronged or defending another person from being wronged, but maybe not defending ourselves from being wronged. Wow. Talk more about that in a minute. Last bullet point on anger was, okay anger expresses in self-controlled ways, not okay anger is expressed in cursing, raging, flying off the handle. So again, if there ever was a moment when it was okay for a Christian to attack or defend, the attack or defensive action should be done in a controlled and thoughtful manner rather than a cursing, raging, off-the-handle type manner. Okay, what do you think? When might it be okay for a Christian to attack or defend? I think we're seeing the beginning of an answer here in saying that a Christian should not initiate an attack or a defensive action if the situation being responded to is not actual sin. And maybe if it does not involve defending God or others rather than ourselves. And again, if we determine that it is warranted for us to attack or defend, our actions should be handled in a controlled and thoughtful way. Okay, let's take what we've looked at so far and apply them to my two opening stories. The kids stealing from Dollar General. If that were a true story. Was their behavior a violation of God's plan and intention for the world? Yes. Stealing is not okay. Did their behavior wrong me or somebody else? Somebody else, in this case, Dollar General. So, is this a case where anger is justified? According to our bullet points, the answer to that would be yes. And our anger bullet points would also tell me again, if I were to choose to respond in anger to these young people, it should be done in a self-controlled manner. So that's somewhat helpful, although it doesn't tell me exactly how I should respond or how I should coach my daughter to respond. But it does give us at least a grounding, I think, the idea that a wrong was committed that's worthy of anger and maybe corrective action. Similar answers to my second story. Is car theft a violation of God's will? Of course it is. Was I wronged or was someone else wronged? In that story, it was the gal from my college days who was wronged. So if I had caught those people in the act of stealing, and if I had chosen to take action against them, it would have been done in defense of this young woman, not in my defense, and so that would fit. And again, if I would have had the opportunity to take that action or express my anger towards those people somehow, God would want it done in a self-controlled way. Well, here too, this stuff doesn't tell me if I should have attacked or defended, if we had caught them in the act. But it gives us a basic grounding for possible responses. Okay, so what if it had been my car and not her car? What if I had caught someone in the act of stealing my car? Woo! Sound effects. Yeah, maybe that's the security system kicking in or something. I don't know. The car's being stolen. Okay, so no longer then would an act of defense there be for the benefit of someone else because it's my car they're stealing. Now it's self-defense. Should I try as a Christian to stop them? Would Jesus have just let them take his car? You know, I just have a real hard time imagining Jesus walking up to two car thieves with a sword drawn, saying, "Go ahead, make my day." Don't you think instead that Jesus would walk up to them and talk to them, treating them like people rather than evil agents or human trash? Wouldn't be too surprising if Jesus told them a parable designed to get them into a different way of thinking, right? I think that's how Jesus would have done it. And if they persisted in taking Jesus' car, well, given his behavior in the New Testament stories, I think he probably would have let them. Of course, he would have had a lot of confidence that God was able to provide for him in other ways. Pastor Greg Boyd tells a story of an altercation that he unintentionally got involved in once. He was headed to a gas station one evening, and he got behind a couple of intoxicated people on motorcycles. They were driving slowly and swerving, often driving right in the middle of the road. He got tired of going so slow and wanted to be past them. And so when there was a moment where they had moved over to the right, and he took advantage of that moment and passed them on the left. Something about this, however, and they were drunk, remember, made those two angry. Turned out to be a husband and wife on these motorcycles. And they followed Greg into the gas station parking lot. When he got out of his car, the male biker came straight at him, cursing at him, accusing him of almost running his wife off the road. His fists were ready for action. Greg says he tried to remain calm, even though his heart was going a mile a minute. He apologized for anything he had done that had caused harm. The man kept yelling, and when it looked like he was heading in for a punch, Greg said, "Okay, you can hit me, but if you do, I can't hit you back." This caused the man to pause. He said, "What?" Greg said, "I'm a follower of Jesus, and Jesus wouldn't want me to hit you, so go ahead and hit me if you want, but I'm not going to hit you back." The guy looked confused for a while. Finally, he put his fist down and said, "Oh, I see. You're a wussy." And he walked away. So I imagine that word maybe did a little damage to Greg's pride. I don't know. But Greg had responded to a violent aggression with calm words, and he had de-escalated the situation. Plus, he didn't get punched. Pastor Boyd goes on to say that he thinks there's a third option available to us when attacks come our way, other than the two options that we would normally think of. Naturally, our response to an attack is either to cower under it or to attack back. Greg said there's a third option, and that is to creatively respond in a way that the attacker wouldn't expect. If someone strikes you on the cheek, offer them the second one as well. Unexpected. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, also from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, offer to take the burden that they placed upon you another mile. Unexpected. Kind of like this idea of we had of Jesus walking out to two car thieves and launching into a parable instead of drawing a sword. Unexpected. The angry, drunk biker had not expected Greg to say what he said about Jesus and about not being able to hit back. And it put the guy on a different path. So Greg says we should take what comes at us and respond with the opposite. So if someone comes at you with hatred, respond with love. If someone comes at you with negativity, respond with positivity. If someone comes at you with aggression, respond gently. If they come at you with a gun, he says, offer them a pie. Apparently he knew of some story where that actually happened and defused a potentially violent situation. In other words, overcome evil with good. Boyd also said, and I thought this was especially good, that if we're going to try to handle conflict in this way, responding to attacks against us with this creative and loving third way, rather than cowering or attacking back, then we need to practice those things in our minds within prayer. We need to practice these things in our minds within prayer. And by that, he means while you're praying, spend some time thinking through what you might say or do in various situations that could come your way. I think that just makes a ton of sense, because expecting ourselves to be creative in a sudden moment of high stress like that without any preparation at all is probably totally unrealistic. So we need to have thought it out ahead of time if possible. And I like his suggestion about doing it in prayer, because that way you can make sure that your plan is of God. You can have the Holy Spirit's assistance as you're thinking about those things. You can ask the Holy Spirit to step in if a situation like that ever were to happen to you and to help you respond in the way you want to respond. Practice. Never thought of that one. Well, of course, we may not be successful in our creative attempts at responding to attacks against us. The person who is intent on sinning may still just go right ahead and sin anyway, but at least we tried to handle the situation in a way that would be consistent with Jesus Christ, what he did when people attacked him. He didn't cower. He didn't attack back. He didn't try to defend himself. He was mostly quiet and just went about his agenda and his teaching. So that's going to do it for today. Again, I think we have begun to get a handle on how to answer this question of when a Christian should attack or defend, but we certainly haven't come up with the full answer yet. The material we've looked at today has been helpful, but it's been of limited help. We need to dig in deeper, and we're going to do that next Sunday. So yeah, sorry, no full resolution for you yet on the questions that my opening two stories brought up. I'm leaving you with a cliffhanger. I do hope you'll tune in for the resolution I'll have for you next Sunday. For today, let me just summarize our partial answer. A Christian should not initiate an attack or defensive action if the situation being responded to is not actual sin. And maybe if it does not involve defending God or others rather than ourselves. And if we determine that it is warranted for us to attack or defend in a certain scenario, our actions should be handled in a controlled and thoughtful way. More to come. Let's pray together. Lord, we do live in a hard world. Your Bible tells us it's a war zone that we've been born into. A battle between good and evil we are swept up into. And you call us to battle, but it's important how we battle as your followers. I ask that you give us wisdom as we think about the ideas from today and as we continue the discussion next Sunday. We want to represent you well in our lives, Jesus. We want to be light in this world rather than contributing to the darkness and the hurt. Thank you for leading the way for us and modeling it for us, Jesus. You're so good, so worthy of our worship. Teach us and lead us. Amen.